Welcome to AM Best Audio.
U.S. insurance sector deal volume is expected to remain strong this year, bolstered by a potentially more deals-friendly government, according to PwC's U.S. Insurance Deals Outlook 2025. Last year, deal activity more than doubled in the first 6 months compared to the same period the prior year, driven by continued demand for insurance brokerages, managing general agencies, and life and annuity assets. The property and casualty sector also showed renewed momentum after a subdued period, and alternative reinsurance transaction structures gained traction, providing investors with diversified revenue streams while freeing up capital for insurers. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV. And joining us now to discuss that is PwC's U.S. insurance deals leader, Mark Friedman. Mark, welcome. So great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lori. Great to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, can you tell us about the factors that drove the surge in M&A activity in the U.S. insurance industry in 2024? And can we expect to see a similar trend again this year?
Sure, Lori. The simple answer is yes. You know, I do expect to see a similar trend this year. But if we take a step back, what drove the surge in M&A activity in 24 was a combination of factors that really all benefited the insurance in the insurance deals market. We continue to see a significant amount of interest in asset intensive businesses, primarily annuities and some life insurance businesses. We see private capital, private equity, private credit funds really putting capital, deploying capital to use in those spaces. We've also on the P&C side had a rising premium rate environment, somewhat compensating for the unexpected inflation over the last couple of years. And in, you know, P&C insurers have finally caught up on the rate. That drives profitability at both the P&C insurance company levels, but also with rising premium rates, brokers also benefit because their revenues and commissions are generally percentage of premium. So we saw this all come to head in 24. We've got very profitable businesses. There's a lot of capital on the sidelines, you know, both on the corporate and private equity side. And we saw them deploy a lot of that capital into the insurance and insurance services sectors.
So how might the revival of private equity exits and IPO markets influence M&A activity and corporate acquisition strategies?
Yeah, so I think we saw that play out in 24, and we're already seeing some of that into 25. There's a backlog of private equity exits. The backlog is driven by, I guess, primarily a increased interest rate environment. Many private equities have been waiting a bit for interest rates to stabilize, because valuations overall tend to go up when interest rates go down. We did see a number of rate cuts by the Fed in 24, but there are assets that are being held now towards the top end of their normal hold periods. And we do expect, with the rates having come down and stabilized a bit, we do expect to see private equity exits. Now, some of those exits will be flipped from one private equity to another. We will also likely see, similar to what we saw in 24, corporates taking advantage of the fact that a lot of private equity money is sitting on the sidelines because of the high interest rate environment or higher elevated interest rate environment. So corporates are deploying some of that excess capital generated from their, you know, the profits on their core earnings. And we also do expect to see the IPO markets come back. And a number of those assets are sizable. And the best exit for a number of those assets might be through the IPO market. So a combination of those channels, we think, will drive a significant amount of deal activity driven by private equity exits and the IPO markets coming back.
Several billion-dollar mega deals were recorded in 2024. Can you tell us more about some of those deals and if we can expect to see more of them this year?
Yeah, sure. There were a number of mega deals, and those mega deals have been across brokers and underwriting companies. Look, the valuations have gone up, particularly in the insurance sector. We see continued interest on the part of corporates and private equities. So as the valuations have increased, the size of these companies have increased, we're definitely seeing more mega deals. We expect to see a number of mega deals in 25. As we discussed, there are a number of sizable assets held by private equity that we would expect in the normal course for them to exit in the next 12 months. So we do expect to see a number of mega deals. We're also seeing a lot of interest in underwriting platforms. We've seen corporate strategics that are looking to double down on products and geographies that they think they could underwrite profitably. And the scarcity of assets and interest on the part of both private equity and corporate buyers is really driving valuations up. So if you're a corporate looking to divest in non-core asset, or if you're a private equity looking to exit, it's a good time to sell because there's a significant amount of interest on the part of buyers looking to deploy capital in the insurance sector.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Mark, how is the potential for a more deals-friendly government environment contributing to the expected robustness of U.S. insurance sector deal volume this year?
So deal-friendly government never hurts. I think the last couple of years deal activity has been somewhat muted more broadly, not necessarily specific to the insurance sector. But I do think when there's a deal-friendly government, it tends to give investors more confidence when they're deploying capital into specific sectors. And I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing the uptick in mega deals, right? If you're going to deploy the amount of capital necessary to do a mega deal, you want to make sure that you've got a stable environment that is deal friendly and amenable to the right type of deal to spur growth within the sector.
How are alternative reinsurance transaction structures benefiting both investors and insurance carriers? And what role are they playing in the current deal-making environment?
Sure, Lori, that's a great question, actually. And we spend a lot of time on alternative reinsurance structures. It really does provide everyone within the deal cycle with what they need. And I guess to take it a step down, right? There are corporates out there that are looking for capital relief. They're looking to gain access to higher yielding assets to allow them to remain competitive, particularly focused really on the annuity asset intensive space. And they're also looking for the capital benefits that some of the private capital can afford through offshore vehicles. On the flip side, investors are looking for access and exposure to spread business, insurance business. They're also looking for assets to manage, investable assets that they could deploy into primarily private capital and other asset-backed securities. So how is it impacting deals and deal-making? There are a number of deals that would otherwise have been sales or acquisitions of businesses that insurance companies with in-force blocks were actually able to reinsure to some of these sidecar alternative capital vehicles and accomplish really everything they were looking to accomplish while retaining control and in some cases not having to deal with the stranded cost issue that many divestitures create for corporate strategics. On the investor side, rather than having to acquire a full platform, a lot of these asset managers, private credit structures are able to get access to the assets, take the business offshore into one of these alternative capital vehicles, and really get that exposure and investable assets and IMA that they're looking for without actually having to buy the whole business. So in many instances, it's actually been a best of both worlds scenario for both the seller and the buyer. And it really helps accomplish everyone's objectives without the need to actually transact and sell a business.
We're hearing so much today about the growing use of AI. What role do AI investments and technological advancements play in shaping valuation strategies for companies in a slowing economy?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a really good question, and it's something that I think is still evolving, but we're definitely seeing a lot more time, energy, and money be spent in the insurance sector around leveraging AI. And how do companies get an edge? And we're seeing it already on the claims side. We're seeing a fair amount be deployed on the underwriting side. But I think companies are looking to deploy their capital in the most efficient way. In some cases, it is resulting in M&A. In many other cases, companies are looking to invest in their existing businesses and enhancing profitability through the use of AI and enhanced technology to improve underwriting, to improve performance. And we're not, I wouldn't say it's an alternative to M&A, but we are definitely seeing companies in this sector weigh the risk reward of doing a deal versus investing in technology. And in some instances, the acquisition or the deal is an acquisition of technology. It's not necessarily an investment of a product, investment in a product, in a geographical capability. It could be a technological capability. So we are seeing M&A driven by the desire to get ahead in the race for technological advancement.
Mark, what are the key benefits of transformational M&A for companies seeking to reinvent business models and drive long-term growth?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. The key benefit is M&A could be the catalyst for transformation. We all know it, change is difficult. Transformation is difficult, and sustained transformation is even more difficult to come by. Sometimes, and we're seeing this a lot in the sector, the M&A can be used as a catalyst for transformation, right? If you do transformational transactions, that could force companies to think about their business models differently. And we're definitely seeing that in the insurance space. And in some cases, we're seeing companies transact through acquisition to transform their business model. In some cases, companies are reinventing their business models by divesting. We've seen companies that were in the distribution and underwriting space divest one or the other to focus on their core. But that, you know, that becomes transformational, right? Fee-based businesses are different than capital intensive and underwriting businesses. So companies can accelerate their transformational journeys through divestitures or in many cases acquisitions in a way that will accelerate the timeline of those transformational activities well beyond what they would have otherwise done through the normal course of transformation.
Mark, this has been so interesting, so informative. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Pleasure. Thanks, Lori. Thanks for the time.
That was Mark Friedman, U.S. insurance deals leader at PwC. And for AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.